Hello, and welcome to the Wheel Talk Podcast. My name is Abby Mickey, and I'm here with Matt Deneef. Hi, Matt.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
To talk about La Vuelta Femenina. We're not in person, and we're not sitting outside of a lovely church, but we are back to talk about women's professional cycling, and what a crazy two stages to touch on. We're going to start with stage five and talk about it very briefly, and then we'll dive into stage six, which was today, as you're listening to this episode. Stage five ended in the first mountaintop finish of the race and was won by Demi Vollering, possibly to the surprise of no one. Or the surprise of everyone. Yara Kastelein finished second, 28 seconds behind Vollering, along with Elisa Longoborghini, finished on the same time. And then Evita Music rode in for fourth on the stage in the overall classification. It was Demi Vollering in the lead, taking the red jersey off of Mariana Voss, Elisa Longoborghini second, and Rianna Marcus third. And that was stage five. Stage five was two categorized climbs, and coming off of the first categorized climb, it was a pretty big group, actually. I was surprised how many riders were able to hold on that first categorized climb. 18 kilometers long, but it wasn't super steep until the end. There was, I think, 5%. It never got really steep, but it was still a huge group, I thought.
Yeah, that's right. And we saw plenty of attacks throughout the day and some descents, even some attacks even on the descent after that. And then, of course, a nasty crash for Guy Riolini, who I'm sure you'll talk about in a minute. But that the breakaway ended up kind of getting caught with about 3K to go, as we'll talk about coming to the final Ks of the stage.
Yeah, there was a lot of action that happened on the stage, and in the valley between the second stage and the first stage, there was a lot of riders trying to go on the attack, including a move that included Kashyyyk Iwadoma, one of the other favorites, and Nee Fisher Black, teammate of Demi Vollering. So there was some really interesting tactics going on the stage. I think SC Works were kind of wanted to be in everything and throw what they could at the race. And then when it came time for the climb at the end, which wasn't a super long climb, 3.4 kilometers long, but a lot steeper than the climb before it, that it was Vollering's turn to go. And she really put any question of her ability to win a bike race, if there was any, to bed on those final slopes.
Yeah, it really looked like she was a rider who been pretty affected by the spring that she'd had and the frustrations that she'd had, and she really wanted to take control of the race and really stamp her authority on it quite early. And yeah, she did come to the front quite early there, and I think 2 kilometers to go, something like that, and really just stayed on the front the whole way through to the finish line. And yeah, it was quite an emphatic win, and one that I'm sure meant a lot to her after the frustrations of the spring, but also all the stuff that's going on in the background with teams for next year, etc.
And yeah, there was a really strong early break that went before the first categorized climb of the day that included Grace Brown, winner of Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and Ricarda Bauernfeind of Canyon-Sram, plus Caroline Swinkels, who is really doing super well in this race and was going for those climbers points.
Yeah, Swinkels has been great. She's been on the attack on a bunch of different days, leading the QOM classification. It was great in the spring as well. We saw her at the Classics riding really well, so obviously in a rich vein of form, and hopefully it can lead to some more success as she goes forward here.
And then on the climb, we saw a lot of riders who I think we would have expected to climb a little bit better suffer on the wheel of Demi Vollering. One of those was Kashyyyk Iwadoma, and I'm going to seamlessly segue us into stage six, because everyone was surprised to see Kashyyyk Iwadoma distance on this climb. I think going into the race, she was one of the top three favorites to win the race and top two favorites to challenge Vollering. But unfortunately, she did not start the sixth stage. She announced that the team announced on social media that she was suffering a bit from illness going into the race and wouldn't start the stage to focus on her health. And at the same time, we also got news from Little Trek that Guy Riolini wouldn't start the sixth stage. So with one mountaintop finish behind us, two to go, kind of three to go if you include the tiny poppy 500 meter 11% climb that wraps up stage 7. We lost two of the biggest challengers to Demi Vollering, who at the end of stage 5 wouldn't even have factored in the general classification.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's certainly coming into today's stage, it certainly looked like it was Vollering's race to win. I think that's fair to say, and I'm not sure we saw anything necessarily to change that today, but certainly a big loss for the race to lose Kasia and to lose Gaia Riolini as well. Interesting that Kasia was actually sick before the race, like you mentioned. She was sick in the Ardennes week and came into the race knowing that she wasn't feeling that great, but was hoping to ride out of illness at the race. And obviously that didn't really pan out for her. So yeah, hopefully she gets back to full health soon and we see her in the next races.
Both of them being out was a huge bummer, even if they weren't going to factor in the general classification, because with the stages to come, they would have still animated the race. So hopefully they're both feeling good soon, and Kasia's targeting the Tour de France and Gaia is targeting the Giro. So they'll be up fighting on mountains again in no time. But stage 6 was a pretty much flat stage all the way to the bottom of a kind of long climb that was pretty gradual in the beginning and then really kicked up near the end. Going into the climb, there was four riders off the front that actually went quite late in the day. There was a lot of attacks at the beginning of this race, a lot. It was pretty much 40 kilometers of relentless attacks from the start, and then those four were reeled back in by the chasing peloton before the bottom of the climb. And then on the climb, it was pretty much every single team with a climber lined up near the front. Every rider who would have featured on the climb had a teammate in front of them. Demi Vollering got on the front and just kind of splintered that group down. And this is where I don't quite understand what SC Works are trying to do, because Vollering was on the front looking around the whole time, on the radio constantly, and Marlon Reusser and Nia Fischer-Black are both in the group. And then by 2 kilometers to go, they're both popped. They're both out the back. So I don't understand why they're not riding for Demi. I get wanting to have multiple cards in the GC, but at this point, Demi is the out-and-out leader. She's wearing the leader's jersey. So I don't know. Matt, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I do. And I've seen there's been a lot of talk already on Twitter in the half hour or so since the stage finished. A lot of people very confused by SD Works' tactics. And yeah, maybe it is confusing. I'm trying to maybe see the alternative, and that maybe Vollering wanted to do what she did yesterday, which was lead from the front and ride a pace that she was comfortable with, knowing that that would be enough probably to get rid of everybody else. And she wanted to take control, and that was a pace that wouldn't allow Reusser and Nia Fischer-Black to come to the front. And we saw both of them, as you say, both of them got dropped at some point, and both of them did come back, and Reusser did get on the front at one point with about 2Ks to go when the road flattened off a little bit. So she did help a bit. But I just wonder if it was a case of Vollering just, yeah, wanting to take the initiative herself and the others weren't able to necessarily help her. Maybe that's a bit naive. Maybe I'm trying too hard to look for the positives there for SD Works Pro Time. But I don't know. I think Vollering just looked strong and wanted to capitalize on that. And it worked well for her yesterday. Didn't work out quite as well today. But whether or not having a little bit of help before the final kick would have made a difference in the end, I'm not sure.
She definitely could have been just overeager and kind of riding high on the win from the day before, and that's why she was on the front pacing. But it did cost her another stage win in the end, that effort. And you could see how much she was suffering coming into the line, and we'll see what that means for the final stage and the 2 days coming up, because I mean, she's still like relatively new in this role that she has. She's not Annemiek van Vleuten, who can do these types of moves and be almost have it almost not phase her at all. So it's I feel like kind of I don't know. I don't really know. Yeah, I think any normal situation, you would have Reusser and Niamh Fisher-Black on the front pacing on that climb, and perhaps that would have done more damage to that group actually earlier on in the climb if their only job was to set the pace on the climb. And yes, Reusser did come to the front, and then as soon as Paulina Roerichs attacked, she couldn't follow it, and Demi once again came to the front and chased down that move by Paulina, which was, I think, just eagerness and also strength. And she's not willing to give away a second of this race, but it was just bizarre, kind of. And I think for me, it doesn't seem like it's completely Demi being keen, because of how much she was looking around and how much she was on the radio. I mean, she was constantly on the radio. And that's a bit weird for me, from a rider who is supposedly the team leader in a Grand Tour, to be just constantly on the radio, radioing back to either the car or her teammates, asking them to come up, and to not have them respond. And that's not... I would be floored if Reusser and Fisher-Black are riding for themselves. That's not really how this works. It's probably something from the car, and a plan that was laid out earlier in the day. But it's just so bizarre to see the race leader kind of just riding her own race, and the team allowing her to be vulnerable in that way.
One thing I keep thinking is that once all this nonsense of where Vollering's going is over, and once she's settled in, and maybe even it takes a few years or whatever for all this stuff to come out, but there's going to be some interesting stories about how this season unfolded behind the scenes, because there's something going on. There's some things going on that we don't really fully understand from the outside. And yeah, it's producing some bizarre results out on the road.
I can't wait for the tell-all book. I hope it comes in English.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, just to come back to what I was saying before, do you think if Vollering had had more help from Reusser and Fisher-Black earlier in the climb, do you think that would have made a difference to the result?
I mean, I think so, because I think that she was pacing on that climb, and you get caught up in the moment, and it's hard to tamper your effort in that moment if you're on the front of the race and you know riders are getting dropped and you're in the leader's jersey. You get kind of wrapped up in that, and so you're not exactly thinking about saving energy for the finish. And I don't think it's going to cost her the general classification overall, but it cost her another stage win, because in the end she didn't have the energy to outsprint Evita Music, which, look, if Demi Vollering is going to ride herself into the ground and it's going to result in a win for Evita Music, I'm all for it. That was phenomenal. That was such an amazing win. Such a great win from a rider who went into the Tour de France last year with high, high hopes, had to pull out early in the race due to saddle sores, and is just this phenomenal talent who's had the weight of France's expectations put on her. She's been on this team for so long, FDJ Suez. She's been one of their developing riders for years, and they've always believed in what she can do from when she won that Giro stage back in 2020. And every single year we go into the year and she's one of their leaders, and she always falls just below the mark. She said in the post-race interview, she gets a lot of fourths. And so to see her win the stage today was phenomenal. I mean, it was just amazing. It's like this season cannot get any better. And we've had six stages so far, and only one team has won twice. And I can't remember the last time that happened in a stage race.
Yeah, and just with music, she was fourth yesterday. She was fourth on the two mountain stages at last year's Vuelta. She was fourth at Flèche Wallonne a few weeks ago. She's been thereabouts. And it was interesting. She also said in that post-race interview that she was asked by the interviewer about her comments before the race, because she actually said that was her plan for the day, was to follow Vollering on the climb and then beat her in the sprint at the end, which is exactly how it played out, which that's got to be very satisfying. I just want to give a shout out to Grace Brown's ride as well, because I thought she was excellent. She was on the front of the thinned out peloton there once the climb started. So she was, I think, 6Ks to go to 4Ks to go. She was the one setting the pace and really thinned that group down while music could sit in. And then there was a lovely moment at the finish where Grace Brown and Invita Music had a nice hug at the finish and celebrated the win. So, yeah, a really cool team result, I thought, that one.
We actually have an audio diary from one of Invita Music's teammates, Alicia Vigilia.
Hello, everyone. Today was a really, really long day. We just came back from the stage, number 6, and it was a really super day for us because we finally get the win with Evita, and she's also our leader, so I think we cannot be more happy about it. And it's really good because all the team did a super great job, and we fight until the end for this win, and everybody puts her heart in this win. And it was really, really a good day. We try to really take care of Evita in every single part of the day. And yeah, it was really great to see the win. And yeah, now we know that the past days were not so good, especially the day of Echelon. We were really disappointed that that our leader took the gap. So we really wanted to do something to put her back in the GC fight. And yesterday we had another good day because we try something unexpected and we fight to really do a high pace in the climb. And finally she took the 4th place and she went back in the GC fight. So we were really already happy with that. But today, yeah, it was just amazing. And yeah, I think we can really be proud. And now there are still 2 days to go and we will try to do even more. Tomorrow, maybe it's a more easy day, but for sure on Sunday, there would be a big, big battle. And we want to be ready for that. So, yes, I think about today, it was just amazing. And we can't wait to have her back in the hotel to celebrate a bit. And from tomorrow, we will be again focused on the goals of the team. And yeah, today with Hedwin, it was really, really a long day. And in one part, it was really good to find some other Italian friends to speak a bit because, yeah, it was really, really long. And, yeah, it was funny. And it was also really good to know that Evita has just won the race. And we were still climbing and we were sharing our happiness with Coco and... yeah, it was really great. And yeah, we are really, really happy about that.
This team has just had a really incredible run of results the last couple weeks, and we love to see it. We also love to see some riders giving it their all. And I got to say, I'm really impressed with Yara Kastelein, who finished 2nd yesterday and then 3rd today. And is, yeah, having a really incredible race. She lost a bit of time in the crosswind stage. So she's still 9th on GC. She's 3.5 minutes down. So it's not like she's fighting for like upper GC placings, but 2 podiums in 2 days and not Demi Vollering. You just got to tip your cap.
Yeah, she's climbing super well, which is really cool to see. She'll probably be rueing that day that she lost a bunch of time in the crosswinds. I think she lost 2 and a bit minutes there, which, I don't know, would put her, I think, 2nd overall, maybe 3rd overall. But anyway, she's still doing really well on the climbs. And I think the Fenix de Kunik team overall is having a really good race so far. Today, they had Paulina Royak is up there, who you mentioned, who was attacky on the final climb, who looked really good. And also, there was one other rider as well from the team. Greta Maturano was also up there till very late, which was cool to see. So, yeah, that team continuing to impress, and yeah, I think we'll see more of them in the days to come, and particularly on the last big uphill finish.
And then a couple other, like, just quick notable results from the day. The riders in the top 10 are kind of the riders that we would have expected to be in the top 10. With Rianna Marcus took a couple seconds, 4 seconds on Elisa Longo-Borghini. Ricarda Bauernfeind was up there for sixth again today. We had Juliet Labuse up there. We had Paulina Rarakis up there, who's a phenomenal climber. Nee Fisher-Black rode in for ninth. And then Kim Kaudzow rode in for 10th, 40 seconds down. And we have an audio diary from Kim. So let's hear from her.
So we're now stage 6 into the Vuelta. We've had 6 pretty hard days on the bike. We had another win from Kristen, absolutely flying off the front after a hard crosswind day. And then we went back to the hotel and we had another big party celebration. We got to sing again. We got to drink more champagne, so what's not to like? And then... yep, we moved to... we were in a hotel for 2 nights, which was actually quite nice not to move around. And we had a hilltop stage. All the other girls said that the views were beautiful, but I didn't get to see any of it because I was looking at the wheel in front of me. I came with a 9th place that day. And then now today we've... moved destinations again, and also I got told that the ride was absolutely beautiful with a river at the big lake at the top that I also missed out on because I needed Freya to push me up the hill after the stage. And then I rode back down the hill for 10Ks, which was nice, after a top 10. And now we've turned up to a hotel, which I think I'm inside a doll's house, maybe. We have glass chandeliers and beautiful furniture and pictures, and yeah, I feel like I'm in a doll's house that someone's made for me. So six hard days on the bike, 2 more to go. I'm looking forward to the next 2 stages, and the team motivation is still super high, so yeah, we keep going.
As far as the general classification going into the 7th stage, Demi Vollering leads by 46 seconds over Elisa Longo-Borghini, and Rianna Marcus is 3rd, a minute 14 back. So Vollering almost has it wrapped up with 2 stages to go, which you can never say because you never know. But with the way she's climbing Eleanor right now Braxton. And another mountainous day coming on Sunday, plus tomorrow is... well, actually, tomorrow's pretty interesting, Matt, writing the preview for it. The race organizers should have some kind of fine slapped on them for the very deceiving profiles. But if you actually plug in the GPX file, the final 16 kilometers is a really fast, small, narrow road descent before they come onto a bigger road that comes into town. And then the final is actually 500 meter, 11% climb. So it's kind of a mini Mur de Huy. So we'll curious to see what will happen on that day, but it's not a straightforward sprint stage like you would believe if you looked at the race organizers.
I looked at the profile and I saw a little uphill kick to the line. I thought, oh, that's got Voss written all over it, but that actually sounds steeper than Voss might be happy with. So yeah, that's an interesting one for sure.
If she was on form, I would say that Leona Lippert could take tomorrow, but
yeah, it's a bit of a shame, isn't it? She looks like she's still just working her way back into form. I think she was dropped with 5Ks still to go today on the climb, which was a shame, but no, she's still got time before the Tour de France Femme to roll around, so hopefully she's good for that. And just on Vollering's GC hopes from here, I messaged you before the race started and said that I thought Vollering would win comfortably, and I still believe that. I think she's just just the best climber and just has a lot to prove, and I know it's kind of a cliche, but she just wants it, so I think she's going to win from here. Did you see the moment today where she and half the peloton stopped for a nature break? And I kind of had flashbacks to last year.
Yes, the designated pee stops.
Yeah, had flashbacks to last year. I was like, oh, not again. Because it was, you know, there were some crosswinds earlier in the stage. And nah, it worked out fine.
The race organizers designated pee stops for the riders.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, I've learned something.
Which is just such an odd thing to have to do or to do. But here we are. So we got two more stages to go and two more audio diaries for you guys. We've got Georgia Baker of Team Live Alula Jayco, who probably didn't love the stage today, or at least the finish, but we'll have a good go of tomorrow's stage.
Hello everyone, it's Georgia Baker from Jayco Alula. I'm currently getting a massage with Sophie, our fabulous Swanee. It's been a really long day today. We didn't finish until around 6 p.m. so, and had about an hour transfer, and yeah, getting a massage and have dinner after. How was your day, Soph?
My day was good, actually. I did a feat late in the stage at 98k, so it was quite a wait.
Yeah, a long wait. You had a headwind today too, so.
Yeah, and well, we got dropped off there.
So, yeah.
It was just waiting, no car. So
just waiting on the side of the road.
So in the sun it was nice, but once the sun was gone, it was quite chilly.
Yes.
But luckily we have quite some sun.
Nice.
And your day?
My day? Yeah, it was a hard day. It was a headwind all the way until the final climb, and we had a summit finish, so we kind of thought that the headwind might make it for a little bit of an easier day, with not too many attacks, but that was the complete opposite. That was just quite aggressive, and the first 25k was slightly uphill, and yeah, so we were just making sure in the moves. My role was early on in, and also setting up Marvi for the final climb. But yeah, we had a good team ride. Marvi didn't quite have the legs today, but Ingvild had a really good ride. She finished 11th. So yeah, it was an impressive ride from her. Good. And it was a really pretty finish, actually. Did you see the finish?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was really. Oh, I got to enjoy it because we could just ride up, but it was probably the prettiest finish we've had. And yeah, that's pretty much all we have for today. Thanks for being the special guest, though.
No worries.
Okay, bye.
Then we have
Eleanor Baxton
from Little Trek to round out the episode. Matt, thank you so much for chatting with me about the bike race at 2:30 in the morning.
My pleasure. I hope I made sense.
And we'll be back to talk about stage 8 on Sunday.
It's all yours.
Okay. I'm going to need you to ask me a question to start off.
So, Eleanor, catch us up on how the Vuelta has been going.
Okay. The Vuelta has been quite eventful for us as a team. Obviously, starting the first day with me and Ellen coming down the last corner of the team time trial, and then the rest of the girls managing to save it and win by 0.2 of a second. Like, what a whirlwind that day was. So personally, my rest of the Vuelta has been quite painful. I've struggled a lot with muscle tightness and back pain and all of that as a consequence from the crash. But I'm getting better day by day. But obviously, it's not been ideal to lose Ellen and then yesterday lose Gaia to that crash on the downhill. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but we will keep fighting for Elisa. And, yeah, the morale is still high. We're still singing in the bus. We're still laughing at dinner. So that's the most important thing. And, yeah, we've been, well, preparing every day for the wind that this Vuelta has brought to us. But yeah, 2 days to go now, and one flat and windy stage and one crazy, crazy mountain stage, and it's still all to play for.
And can you explain a bit about your role in this race, what you've been doing?
Yeah, so my role has been, well, first of all, surviving after the crash, but, you know, looking at after Gaia a little bit, looking after Elisa a little bit, just try to do bead on duty while, you know, suffering a little bit. And yeah, just helping everyone out. If they need something, I'm there. They need moving up, I'm there. I've not yet made it to the bottom of a climb to do the lead in, because the legs haven't showed up. But hopefully these next couple of days I'll be able to do something along the lines of that. But I am basically off service to anyone who needs me. And yeah, I enjoy it.
And what are you doing right now?
Right now I am at the osteo. I need to give a special shout out to José Luis, because without him, I don't think I would still be at this welter. I've been basically going twice a day, and he has fixed me every day. And yeah, I can tell you I wouldn't be here without him.